everybody. Welcome back to another great edition of Talking Tigs. I'm Scott Gerard. Joining me tonight, Tommy Johnson, Daniel Zellinger. Got just a few weeks left of summer, and practice is in high gear with football. We just had the Olympics. Well, I think the ending ceremony is already officially going, but it's going on right now as far as our time frame is concerned. Olympics are over. A lot of good news from that. LSU practice has a lot of things going on. And preseason for NFL already started. Saints got one in the can, looked okay, I guess. I don't know. If you watch that, you saw some things you probably thought you might see, like Spencer Rattler playing with the Saints. But who knows, right? Anything can happen. Saw Bo Nix in a Broncos uniform running the offense. Before we get into all that, I want to check in with you guys. It has been a couple weeks, so hopefully you've had a good time away. Get your PTO in, because you know once the season starts, we're going to need all hands on deck here. So, how are you guys doing? And start with your favorite Olympic moment so far, or I guess throughout the whole thing since it's basically over.
Hey, good to be with you. Good to be on the podcast again. Doing well. I think that my favorite moment, man, I haven't watched a ton of the Olympics, but I did watch the 4x4, both women and the men's. And that women's 4x4 where I don't know if you saw it, where we absolutely dusted everybody, and it like the race was over after lap one. It's pretty cool to see. Yeah. We won gold in both men's and women's, so that was cool. I was glad about that. But the women's, I mean, I haven't seen domination on an Olympic track thing like that in a long time. I feel like that just doesn't happen that often. Maybe I'm wrong, but
Yeah. Welcome to all our devoted listeners. Big announcement of episode 250 for the podcast, a big milestone, come a long way. So glad to share that with you all. And yeah, been having a good time. Actually got to see Tommy in person last weekend in Nashville. So that was a good little meetup. And then catching up on the Olympics that finished competing just today. But yeah, they were exciting, and I think lived up to the hype as far as they can, even without, I guess you could call it a signature athlete, maybe like Michael Phelps or Usain Bolt there. I guess probably Simone Biles is the closest we had to that in this one. And she did live up with her own gold medals. But I guess the most exciting one is kind of the default, the Noah Lyles 100 meters decided by 1/1000th of a second or whatever it was, literally a hair's breadth. So that was pretty crazy to see. And all the track stuff was pretty cool. Like you mentioned, Tommy, the 4x4, the men's was down to a hair when we held off. I think it was Botswana with former LSU alum Vernon Norwood running a strong second leg for the U.S. And so that was fun. And then all sorts of other stuff. I saw that we tied in the total medal count in terms of golds with China, which it would have been nice to beat them out by one. But we got the overall, which is to be expected. If you're at the top, you got to keep the crown, but everybody else is gunning for us. But yeah, overall, good Olympics and looking forward to that coming home to L.A., not Louisiana, but Los Angeles in 2028.
I know. That's the crazy part is it's going to be in L.A., and it's exactly, 40 years later? I think it's going to be a totally different experience than it was in the 80s for lots of different reasons. But I'd say all in all, just from what I was able to see, it seemed like a pretty good Olympics. No hangups. Lots of Americans doing their thing. As you said, we had the total medal count tied in the gold. I don't know. I think total medals combined is probably more impressive to me. But I guess everyone goes with the gold. But yeah, it's always going to be somebody like U.S., China, France actually had a good push as the host nation. So you love to see that. And yeah, like you said, comes back to L.A. in 28. Lots of things could be repeated. Men's basketball. There was the women's track issue events that could be coming back. So I think my favorite event, probably watching Mondo get the world record and seeing his family in the stands, that one could be one.
Antoine there?
Was who? Antoine? I was looking. It was hard to tell because there was two different groups that he went up to afterwards.
Oh, gotcha.
I would hope so. I would think so. If it was my brother, absolutely.
Yeah.
Then there was, let's see, what else? The women's, there was the Noah Lyles. I think they expected him to win the other event, which he came in third, but supposedly he had COVID. But he still got that one. Then the guy from Botswana got the gold from, what was it, the one we thought Lyles would have had.
Yeah, and the 200.
Yeah, but, Americans did really well getting a lot of goals and things we didn't think we would. Really good stuff. I don't know, a lot of good memes from the Olympics, right? It's like there's the ones early on from the guys just shooting guns. There's all kinds of stuff from track, and I don't know. I'm still kind of caught up and obsessed with this whole breakdancing thing.
Right? It's so weird.
It is. Like, I know they have to introduce new stuff, but it's just, what are we doing here?
I don't know. I watched it, I watched, like, I saw the highlight last night of B-Boy Victor playing against B-Boy something else, B-Boy from Japan. I don't understand why they call them all B-Boys. I don't understand what they're really doing.
Boys, B-Boys, because they got a break dance. I don't maybe that's it.
It's pretty weird. Don't like it, don't love it.
What they were doing
does not come back.
Yeah, what they're doing, you definitely have to be athletic to do it, but
sure.
And I would say that it requires more amount of athleticism than some of the other events. Like, you can't say that breakdancing is less athletic than like the pistol shooting or maybe archery or something like that.
But that still doesn't mean that it, like, that doesn't mean we need to
be. Yeah, I'm not saying it deserves to be there, but it was interesting. And I don't know if y'all saw the Australian woman who was.
Yes, I was going to mention that.
Turned out she had like a PhD in breakdancing or something, but she was like an academic and she was like out there like wiggling around on the floor. And it had no real athleticism, but I'm not sure what the purpose of that was, but it kind of just embarrassed her whole country on that one. But yeah, I probably won't be tuning in to the next year's Olympics on the breakdancing, but I guess it is an interesting experiment of sorts.
I hope they don't do breakdancing again. I hope they like can't cut that. Are we cutting it?
We'll see.
I don't know. I guess they can lose sports as easy as they can gain them, but I don't know. That's just ridiculous. I agree. Yeah, the woman from Australia is like, it's not braid dancing. This is like an interpretive dance, which is perfect for, you know, Paris, French, people like that. Really. But it's not an Olympic sport. Whatever she's doing, it looked like a fish impression. Not to be mean, but it just... I didn't get it. It didn't look like the B-Boys. All right. It didn't look like them. I'll say that. Anywho. Yeah,
the B-Boys. It's just not for me.
But yeah, congrats to the Dream Team. Brought it home, thankfully. I don't know, man. It's interesting. At least they brought the, the goal back to the U.S., that should never be in question.
But, with basketball?
Right, and LeBron made it a post. We got to bring the standard back. I mean, he looked old as heck. He's had the full beard, had some a lot of white hairs. So it was great to see Grandpa James out there.
It was a pretty exciting gold medal match against France. Yeah. The French kept it in there until Steph Curry started making it rain at the end.
Yeah, Steph really went off.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And that's what Steph does. And so that's what Steve Kerr lets him do. And it was interesting because you could see Eric Spoelstra was like an assistant manager. I think the head coach from Gonzaga was too.
He was. And Ty Lue.
Yeah. Like everybody gets a gold. But they don't count that as the golds, right? Because that would have been like 30 gold medals right there just with the team and the coach.
Just one.
Yeah, one per sport. No, I get it. But anywho, that's awesome. And women too, right? Although I didn't catch that.
Yeah, they beat France only by 1 point. We were like huge favorites in that one too. I'm not sure how we didn't hold them off, but I guess they got it done in the end. What the U.S. needs to focus on, because I saw we destroyed people in the track events. We had like 34 medals in track, and the closest was like 15 or something. But the reason China's so close is because they're good at the other events that we like don't compete in at all, really the diving and then the shooting sports and stuff where you can like rack up a bunch of medals. And I guess they're more technical, like table tennis and stuff like that. We need to find some five-star table tennis recruits and get them in the performance lab.
We need the 247 table tennis recruit ranking. Maybe that can be our next like venture in this podcast.
Yeah. And this isn't a, there's the next Forrest Gump out there too, where there's just some guy that's just innately good at table tennis that just is waiting to be found. Right. So,
or like on the shooting stuff, I saw there was an American guy who won the gold medal in like the shotgun and the trap shooting, and he's won gold in 5 Olympics in a row. It's like there's got to be another guy here for like archery or rifle shooting. There's some good old boy from Alabama get in the pipeline.
Should be. But anyway, a lot of good stories with the Olympics. Yeah, at the same time, though, it's like all this other stuff's going on here at home with football, baseball. You got all kinds of things going on. But, I mean, we're what, 3 weeks away? As we said, we'll have another podcast to preempt the matchup with LSU and USC in Vegas on September 1st. I believe it's a 7:30 p.m. Eastern kickoff. So good timing for us. Seems like it would have been a good time to go out there, but man, we just don't have a good record with these kickoff games. So understandable if some people held back, but I still think LSU is going to pull through. We still got to do our whole season predictions and all that. I guess we'll do that one on the next one, but all that coming down the pike, and it's already here. I mean, football's here, right? We're going to have college football officially, in less than 2 weeks. LSU plays exactly 3 weeks from today. We already have pros starting, so.
I know, you know, I didn't even, the preseason really snuck up on me. Yesterday I'm flipping the TV and I see NFL. I'm like, oh my gosh, wow. Watched a little bit of that. Of course, preseason, you know, it's sometimes you just want to turn on and see, you know, guys in pads and helmets, and that's just what you're watching. But the game itself is not that interesting. But I know it's hard to believe it's already here, and man, I'm excited. I'm ready for college football to get back.
On the NFL front, the preseason kind of serves as the hype showcase for the top ranked recruits, draftees, I guess, and that their limited action. Like Jaden Daniels played one series for the Commanders and did well, went 2 for 3 passing, including like a 45 yard connection, and then scored on the rushing touchdown from 3 yards out. So a hot start for Jaden, which you like to see as an LSU fan. And yeah, the Saints getting a win, so hopefully they can continue on that path, and we'll see if they stick with Derek Carr at the quarterback position, or if they turn to one of these other rookies like Spencer Rattler, who showed a little bit of promise. I don't have super high hopes for this season in that regard, but it is good, like you said, Tommy, just to have something on the screen there. And then LSU, 3 weeks from this very minute, will be playing in Vegas, so a lot to look forward to in the coming weeks for football fans.
Yeah, I don't know. It is preseason, but got to say, the Saints, I don't know, I guess their D-line, I don't know, their defense looked pretty good because they got in the backfield a lot, bless you, Tommy. And I think that's going to be one of their stalwarts. It's always just if the offense is going to do something, right? Because
yeah, it's Derek Carr, the inverse of when Drew Brees was there.
Yeah, it's totally different now. Anywho. But yeah, Jaden Daniels did look good. I don't know if there's anything else that stuck out, but
I'm just hoping for a bit of a Joe Burrow bounce back year after suffering through some injuries. He's got to stay healthy, stay on the field, and earn that big contract. And that's what all the former LSU and maybe potentially Ohio State fans are cheering for, as I guess LSU's number one representative in the league at this moment.
Right. And I don't know, was there anything that came out of LSU like football camp that was, I don't know, anything interesting? Because it is just, you know, you get bits and pieces. You don't really know what to make of anything. You can see highlights here and there. It's very limited of what information comes. Of course, people want to hype up a good season. We'll get into our records and stuff like that next week. But I don't know. I think there was a couple things that stood out because when you start to hear about freshmen in the mix, that you're like, oh, okay. Now we're getting like some, you feel like you got something tangible here. So thing I'm hearing about PJ Woodland, Ashton Stamps looking good, had a couple interceptions. Hopefully that's not because of Garrett. They're just really athletic guys and they're getting them. But that's what I'm hearing is just like some good defensive production from guys where we're going to need it. Cause I mean, DBU, Corey Raymond, I think it'll be back.
I hope so. I've got a lot of high hopes for Ashton Stamps. I mean, he got a lot of playing time last year as a true freshman that, you know, he probably shouldn't have gotten. He was kind of thrown in there and, just because of our lack of talent. He played decently. I know he got burned and I can't remember if it was bad. Maybe it might've been against Alabama. I know he got burned in one game and, you know, burned for a touchdown. But other than that, I thought he played decently. And so really looking for him to step, you know, take a next step, in his sophomore season. I would say one bit of news on the football front that came out that I'm excited about, LSU lands wide receiver commit Philip Wright. I think it was yesterday or 2 days ago. He's a senior out of Destrehan, and so exciting news for that. I like, you know, and we flipped him from Michigan. So defending national champion, you know, team flipping that guy, keeping in-state talent here. Louisiana wide receivers usually pan out pretty well for us. So, you know, excited about that.
Yeah. Right. On the camp front, we've almost discussed it ad nauseum, but the big question mark is the secondary, which was our Achilles heel in last season. So that's what really everyone is zooming in on, trying to see who's the starting group. Since we have a mix of returning production, like you mentioned, with Ashton Stamps, along with more veteran guys like Major Burns and Sage Ryan at the safety spot, as well as some newcomers like Jardine Gilbert at the safety, and then PJ Woodland, true freshman, who's been making a lot of splashes. I'm not sure if he'll get the starting nod week one against USC, but we'll probably at least get some certain number of snaps. And then the other thing is everybody wants to see the true freshmen, who are the big recruits that we've pulled in. And like we said, PJ Woodland, although he wasn't the highest rated recruit, has made an impact. Jelani Watkins, wide receiver from Texas, especially on possibly the special team spot, because he has kind of blazing track speed. And I saw a stat that he would have gotten like, if his like top 100 meter time had been gone at the Olympics, he would have gotten like 11th in the world or something at the Olympics, which is kind of crazy as a high schooler. But he may be dangerous in the return game and in some kind of special packages as a deep threat split out wide. So that's cool. Offensive line, pretty solid. Running backs, John Emery and Josh Williams, both back for their sixth years. Veterans from the national champion team still sticking around, mixing in with Caleb Jackson, who everyone is hoping to take a big step forward into Leonard Fournette 2 version. So we'll see how that shakes out. And then the big transfers like CJ Daniels, wide receiver, and a few others who I'm blanking off the top of my head. But yeah, and then Kyron Lacy at the wide receiver position, since our number one wide receiver.
And number two.
And number two, yeah, between Brian Thomas and Malik Nabers both leaving. So hopefully Kyron Lacy can inherit that role and fix some of the issues he's had in the past. But yeah, everything's looking good. Kind of iron sharpens iron in terms of LSU DBs, wide receivers going at it. So hopefully Brian Kelly can get them shaped up for that week one matchup that's been a real thorn in our side for the past four seasons.
Exactly. And you mentioned special teams. You also mentioned track and field too. Actually, Philip Wright the third, I think this probably could have played into his decision because he runs a 4.32 40. He also has a track offer from LSU, so
pretty sure I think I saw his nickname is Flash. I think they call him Flash Wright.
Yeah, well, that's in quotes. I see that now. Philip Flash Wright.
Yeah, you are. So that's kind of cool. I like Flash. That's a good name.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And other than that, I don't know. I mean, you had some big names come by, as you usually do around this time. We had Matt Flynn coming by, dropping some drip in Baton Rouge, I guess, to talk. Brian Kelly had him in to talk. Other than that, I think that was about it. I mean, we had one tight end leave, Mac Markway, right? But
yeah, who was expected to I think have some serious some legitimate playing time. So kind of a weird move there.
Yeah, I mean, I guess he.
Yeah, he got a lot of
writing on the wall.
He got a lot of snaps last year as more kind of the blocking tight end, but
kind of like Mashburn from 2 years ago.
Yeah, because we'll see Mason Taylor as that number one receiving spot. But yeah, there's been some flashes from Kamorian Pimpton and Tre'Dez Green, two big bodies at the tight end position. So maybe Brian Kelly will look to go to some two receiving tight end sets, get Garrett Nussmeier some big body checkdowns over the middle and in the red zone as well. So I guess maybe there was just too much competition, but we'll see how that goes.
Just weird, yeah. Just weird for me to like weird to leave beginning a camp like that. I don't feel like that doesn't happen too often.
Right. It's because it's a little bit late to get something going at a new school before the year starts.
Yeah.
No, although I heard it's possible, right? They made some new rules where you could do it up until a certain point.
Yeah.
By the way, I mean, that's what I was going to mention to you guys, actually, is there were some new rules. I don't know if we covered it last week, all the scholarship changes, like this historic expansion the NCAA is doing. Did we...
No, we didn't discuss it. I was talking to Tommy about it in person, but I saw that they were possibly changing the rules. Was it to 105 scholarships?
Oh, for football? Yeah. They're going to increase it by 20. They're just doing like a roughly like 790 scholarships across 40 sports. So they're just spreading, like they're increasing everything across the board. But yeah, football will have 20 more. So it'll go from 85 to 105.
I think, the 105 was like the roster limit before, but it was 85 scholarships and like 20 walk-ons, and now it's the full 105. So
we see bigger
recruiting classes, bigger transfer portal classes.
About no more, does that mean no more walk-ons?
I don't know, because then, it's like, can you walk on up to 120? I'm not sure on that.
I thought the roster size was 125.
I'm not sure, because then it would be a little bit different from like home and away. Like a lot of the walk-ons wouldn't travel and stuff like that.
Or how's the travel squad, that kind of thing.
How's John Gordon McKernan going to get on the team now?
It's true. Good question.
But it was pretty historic, because like I said, it goes across so many different sports. I mean, men's basketball, it's like they didn't really have much. I think the very beneficial part of this will be the other sports. Things like baseball, where they had, it's like you have nine starters, and then imagine one to two backups for each. So that's at the bare minimum 27 to 30 players. But how many scholarships does the NCAA give? 11.7. So at least they're now increasing that up to 34, which is probably what makes the most sense out of all of this. So kudos
everybody,
to them.
I mean, even from what it's like everybody, even Dylan Cruz is on a partial at LSU.
It's pretty crazy.
I mean, that's probably because he's just got a heart of gold. And he said, my parents are okay. I can just take a partial if someone else needs a full coach. I imagine he's probably like that. But I don't know. There's a lot of other interesting increases, but I'm just curious if you guys knew if you had a guess, what do you think would be the one that would get like the most scholarship increases? Just
most bump.
Which one?
The most bump from where they are.
Yeah. I mean, just think of like, there's so many dozens of sports. I'm just curious, because chances are we're not going to guess it.
I'm going to say lacrosse.
There's a big one, track and field. There's a lot of track and field athletes, but I bet they don't have many scholarships.
You're right. You're actually pretty close, Tommy. There's men's and women's. So men's is going to go from 12.6 to 45. So that's an increase of 32.4. Women's goes from 18 to 45, so an increase of 27. But, yeah, that's a pretty good guess. I'll just cut to the chase. Like, the one that had the most was 48. That's women's rowing. I'm sorry. I apologize. Women's rugby. It increased 53, 12 to 65. And I think women won gold this go around in this. So I didn't realize women's rugby was that prevalent, but I guess it is. It's just a very, what do you call it, like a niche sport. Just one of those things. I think there's a lot of purists out there that like football, but they just, they love rugby. It's different, right? It's just, it's ongoing. There's no pads. You just go. You
I think hit it's like kind of like football and soccer.
Yeah. Although like I watched a little handball. That's kind of like soccer and basketball. So there's a lot of interesting sports out there. But anyway, that was just interesting, but lots of scholarships increase. So I thought baseball was probably the most sensible one, but there you have it.
Interesting.
Yeah.
NCAA is just scrambling to remain relevant. It's like they held the floodgates as long as they can. And now it's all burst. And now they're just trying to keep their head above water.
Right. They're trying to make it so that like the SEC just doesn't go, can we just do this on our own?
Yeah.
You know, we got a product. Anyway,
they practically do. Yeah.
Yeah. What else?
They had the preseason coaches poll at least came out. And then I think the preseason AP poll comes out tomorrow. So that'll be interesting. LSU was number 12 in the coaches poll. Our first opponent, USC, number 23, sneaking in there. So getting I imagine the AP poll will be pretty similar, LSU being somewhere the 12 to 15 range, but getting a ranked opponent right off the rip. Georgia, number one by a landslide, top five after Georgia's Ohio State, Oregon, Texas, and Alabama. So the Big Ten and the SEC still leading the pack by far.
Yep.
How about this? Where do y'all think we finish the season, above or below number 12 in the poll where we predicted preseason?
I'll say right about there.
So what's interesting is at 12 right now, like you're theoretically in the playoff, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, now I don't think it would actually shake out this way, because you look at 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 teams are in the SEC. In this top 12. So, we're going to play Ole Miss. We're going to play Alabama. And, so those games will probably determine some movement in the poll. But I think, Scott, I would say you're about right. I think that 12 is, I think we are probably about right at about it, but I think we're probably going to end up a little bit below it. I'd say we might end up at like 14 or 15.
Yeah, I agree. I think finishing in the top 20 is somewhat reasonable, especially given the questions we have at defense and a new starting quarterback with Garrett Nussmeier. Obviously, the hopes are much higher for a playoff berth and beyond, but it's, you look at the teams above us, kind of in the immediate vicinity, like Florida State, defending champion Michigan, Notre Dame. Like these are pretty strong teams, and I'm sure LSU could beat them on any given day, but it's hard to say that we're going to run the table and get to the playoff, especially given how tough our schedule is this year.
Yeah, but that's the thing, is the schedule does set up where all you have to do is win. Even if we just win one game by every point with that schedule, like there's no debate at the end of the season. Well, I mean, yeah, they're undefeated, but have they played, insert, you know,
I mean,
theory here.
And we've kind of beaten this point to death, but the last few seasons have almost been dead on arrival because we've lost the opening game. And it's not that you're completely written off from the playoff with one loss there, but you just have such an uphill climb where you pretty much have to run the table after that. And our teams weren't really built for that. So that first game against USC is basically a must win in terms of making the playoff. You lose there, and then at that point, you're just hoping to knock somebody off late.
I think it was a must win in the 14 playoff. I don't think it's a must win now. But I do think that, I mean, that's a quality win. You want to get that. You want to secure that. That makes your road a lot easier, because I mean, I'm looking at week 7. We've talked about it for months now, but I mean, that Ole Miss game is going to be huge for us.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to be the pivot point for this season. If we can take out Ole Miss, which we've had good luck playing against them. I mean, it's not, you know, I think they're going to have a very good team this year. This is probably their best team they've ever had, or maybe not ever, but the best team they've had in a long time. But I'm not, I don't hate our chances. But if, you know, that's probably the biggest game on our schedule, to be honest, I would say. Alabama's always a big game, but I have more concern about that Ole Miss game than probably any other game on our schedule.
Mm-hmm. And things could be different with the other teams in our league. Plus, you know, you have the first game. I guess if you're going to lose any one of them, whether we only lose one or three, as long as you lose it on like just a blocked extra point, you know, goes back to 2007 where our only two losses were in overtime, and that seemed to help us, even though they'd never put in a two-loss team before. So it also depends how you lose. So I think if LSU, in the midst of all this, if they were like, I don't know, I see it as like a 9-3 team. I think last 2 years I've gone like 11-1 or 10-2, but I think 9-3 is pretty reasonable. But I think depending on how you lose, that could get you in.
That's yeah, true. I think you're definitely in the conversation there. And that's really what we're looking for here is Brian Kelly in year three, got to make that step up into the playoff, especially with the expanded field. Like we mentioned, the expectations are there, and anything below that would probably be a disappointment, especially for the rabid LSU fans who are for national championship or bust just about every year.
Not us, though.
We've been through some highs and lows over the course of this podcast. I think the expectations have been tempered a little bit in that regard.
Yep, we had to.
It's hard when your first season is a podcast, is the national championship season, and that was when we like hardly had anything to talk about after each game. It's like, well, we blew them out again.
Yeah,
we scored 60.
No notes.
Yeah, no notes, exactly. But anyway, I don't know. I guess we'll probably have some notes this season, but do you have any other notes right now?
No, the only thing is that our next podcast will probably be in 2 weeks from today, which would be August 25th, 1 week before the season. So we'll give you the big preseason recap there. But actual week zero games would be happening day before that on the 24th. The most and really only notable one being Florida State and Georgia Tech playing in Dublin, Ireland, kicking off noon Eastern. So tune into that one and get the luck of the Irish and tip off the college football season. Looking forward to that, and we'll have that recap plus the season preview for you then.
Mm-hmm. Hey, man, they're doing a lot of these games in Ireland. Do you think they're, like, is it just, I mean, I get it if it's Notre Dame, but, like, what's, do they just really like football there? Is this just, like, a hot thing, or is there more at play here?
I feel like they're trying to, I think it's just, like, they're trying to grow the game, something like that. Yeah. I don't really get it either. I got the Notre Dame one. That made sense to me, but,
yeah. Same.
I mean, I guess it's something cool. I don't know if it drive. I would be interested to see if, like, does that drive numbers? Like, do people tune in because it's in Ireland? I don't think so, but maybe so.
Would y'all fly to an LSU game in Dublin if they kicked off the season there?
I would not.
We would have to reestablish our dominance in these opening games before I would.
That's a good point. I would not go cross country and have to get a passport to go watch us lose.
Unless that was like the second or third thing on my list while I was there, you know?
Yeah. I was in Dublin 2 years ago, which was a fun trip. That the airport there, that was a rough one. Leaving Dublin to come back to the US. We stood in line at the check-in for probably an hour and a half. The line was so long. So I wouldn't go back just for that, but a cool place. I think they play Gaelic football there. I think that differs a lot from American football, but maybe there's an audience.
Oh,
hey, maybe. But anyway, we'll have a lot more for you next time. But I think that'll do it for us here on Talking Takes today. Hope everyone has a good week. Hope you enjoyed the Olympics. A lot of Tigers showing out. And we'll have a lot more for you next time. So definitely tune in. And until then, stay safe, stay tuned, and we'll talk to you next time on Talking Takes.